Swelling on, breaking off, breaking eyes. Still want the act, not the ghost. Well, hello and welcome back to the DC UK podcast. This is season 5 and it is episode 16, and we are back after a bit of a hiatus after, you know, what been going on. If you hadn't seen on social, I do apologize for that momentary silence that we had, but we know that we needed to take that stand. To stand with Nigel Roberta and the racial abuse and the allegations that have been coming out. And we know that we want to stand alongside the guys, John and Ted, over at RFK Refugees to show some solidarity, really. So that's where we've been. But I've been, you know, looking at what we could do. We've got a few good things for this episode. So we've got the return of guest DC Who, we've got MLS 101, and we've got news, talking points, and the preview for this weekend's game, because it feels like it's been a while since I've actually tuned into a game, because the League's Cup has been an awkward time, shall we say. But we've got the Red Bulls this weekend on a Sunday rather than a Saturday of all days, so that's going to be interesting. But yeah, we're back. It's great to be here. And as always, if you have any questions, thoughts, or anything you want me to mention on today's show, please let me know in the chat. But here we go. The return of guest DC Who. So I am just going to bring up on the screen the outline of this player. So you'll see him just down here. Just below my finger, just here. So this player is currently 43 years old and is from Nederland, Texas. It's Nederland, not Netherlands, but Nederland in Texas. He's currently an assistant coach within MLS. I'm not going to say which team it is because that might make it far too easy for you guys out there. He started his career in 2002 for Sporting Kansas, and has made 7 appearances for the US men's national team and scored the once. And he retired when he was playing for DC United in 2015. So that is the clues for the return of guest DC Who. He's 43 years old, from Nederland, Texas, currently an assistant coach within MLS. Played from 2002 to 2015. As when he retired as a DC United player, and he went on to make 7 appearances for the US men's national team and scoring the one goal as well. So that is with the return of guest DC Who. You'll find out at the end of the show who that is, but if you feel like you know who it is, pop it in the chat and let me know who you think. But we are going to move on to onto the news and the talking points. And Bolash, hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining in the chat. Nice to see you. Let us go on to the news. So let's roll the VT. So a few bits of news from last time we had the show. We've got transfers, we've got some talking points, we've had League's Cup, we've had Messi come and join. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. So bits of transfer news. So we've had a couple of transfers. I say a couple. We've actually had 3 move into the club, and we've had some outgoings as well. In terms of incomings, though, we've had Gabriel Parani, who is a Brazilian midfielder, who's joined us on loan with a view to making that move permanent at the end of the season. That's if we do decide to take that option. I think it's $3.5 million. He's been given the number 10 jersey as well. So everything looks good for this guy. If you look at the clips on YouTube and things, he is an exciting prospect. Everyone that we've spoken to about this is very excited to see this guy in. He's been in training this week, which means he has his P1 visa, and he should be making his debut this weekend. He's been playing in Brazil, so they run through the same calendar season, and you know, let's hope he kicks off very, very well. Also, we've made a couple of signings from Panama, but they are from Panama. So we've signed Eric Davis, who is a left back, and a forward in Jose Fajardo. In terms of Eric Davis, very much a depth player, because we've needed cover at left back, as we know, with Jay-Z being out, Pedro Santos being out as well. We're very light on that side of the pitch. So he's been brought in to give some good depth. And again, he's one of those players who everyone's been happy about. No one said anything bad, really. And then Jose Fajardo giving us, again, more depth up top. Obviously, with Taxi leaving the club, again, we needed someone to replace him. He's not a direct replacement, I would say. But again, looking at the clips online, he looks pretty good, shall we say. So again, very exciting. Hopefully we'll be seeing those guys over the weekend against the Red Bulls. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we do this weekend. So that's in terms of transfers. In terms of talking points, so the last sort of game that I covered, which was a little while ago now, and it got to the point where I was thinking, right, this things have not looked good. It was the game before the League's Cup, actually, so it was a little while ago. But Tyler Miller had a pretty poor game, shall we say, and I sent out a tweet just saying, should Miller continue being our number one? Obviously, through the League's Cup, Alex Bono had been deputising in goal and looked pretty good. So, I think there was a couple of clean sheets. Can't argue with... Well, he's had a couple of clean sheets. I know he had one on his debut against FC Dallas, if I remember rightly, and then had another clean sheet in the League's Cup as well. So, looked pretty good, shall we say. And yeah, should Miller continue being our number one? 82 votes were cast, and 59.8% of those votes said no, he should not continue being our number one. So interested to see whether since then, whether you think he should continue being our number one. Obviously, seeing how Alex Bono has done throughout the League's Cup, it will be interesting to see how he does. Moving on to next talking point, which is from Jason Anderson. He pointed out about, and again, this is before the League's Cup, so these stats have changed since then, but DC United in a back four in 2023, we'd won one, drawn two and lost six games, with a minus 10 goal differential, scoring seven, conceding 17. But with a back three, stroke five, we'd won eight, drawn four and lost five, with a plus 8 goal differentials, 26 goals scored and 18 against. So, like I said, that has changed since the League's Cup. Obviously, we've played a few games, but that's very, very interesting to see that the fact that we are better in a back three, stroke five, rather than a back four in 4-4-2, which is what I prefer us to play. But, you know, can't always have your ways. If we are looking better in a back three or a back five, then that is the way we should go, really. So I know we've missed Pines in a couple of games recently. Obviously, we've had Steve Birnbaum get injured. Brendan Heinzeich has recently made his return. Victor Paulsen has left as well. Forgot to mention him in the transfers. So there's been a bit of a change in the back. It'd be interesting to see how we go this weekend. But yeah, interesting, shall we say. And then the last bit, which was a bit of a a tickle was Wayne Rooney using Football Manager scouts to get some knowledge about players from across the globe, really, and primarily in South America. There's a lot of people thinking, he's just playing the game and just looking at that rather than actually going to the Football Manager community and to the people who run the game and things like that, and actually using the scouts themselves. So basically, he's used an agency, a recruitment agency in essence, and done it that way, which is absolutely genius. Don't see why you wouldn't do that. Football Manager is one of those games that is known for its accuracy, realism, debatable, shall we say. I mean, Haaland is a bit of a cheat code, but you know, I do love Football Manager, as you probably know. But when you can take Boston United from Valderrama National North all the way up to the Championship, nothing but English and, well, British players. Realism is to be debated. But yeah, he's done it. I think it's a great way of doing things. Long may that continue, shall we say. So yeah, those are a few of those talking points. Other bits, we've obviously had MLS All-Star towards the end of July. But we ended up having to terminate one of the contracts for the Athletic trainer due to a discriminatory hand gesture. And then also Taxi Fantas has also left since then as well, due to allegations of racial abuse towards teammate Nigel Roberta. There was a long investigation in that as well, in the fact that they had to speak to different people, different parties involved, who heard what, this, that, and the other. And I mean, for me and my perspective, and I remember this is my perspective, not anybody else's. When Taxi was accused first time around last year against Inter Miami, and it was he said, she said, kind of a scenario, then you can kind of think, maybe there was something potentially not there, especially if it could have been misheard, accents, things like that. I can kind of understand it, but to have it twice is not really professional, shall we say. It was 8 weeks from the first investigation. I think it's been 3 weeks for this one. Just a shame and incredibly annoying that the result came out a few days after the transfer window had closed, so we couldn't actually do anything about it in terms of replacing Taxi. So we're now down to two designated players, which is just frustrating, because now what we have to do is, if we want to replace him with another DP, we have to look at the free agency list. But I've been looking at it. I had a look at who's currently available as a free agent that could potentially be designated player level. And for me, the top player would be Alfredo Morelos, who was released by Rangers in Scotland, who is a striker. And I do follow Rangers, not as closely as DC United or Middlesbrough, but I do keep an eye on their results and how they do. Morelos has a bit of a temper, but he knows where the back of the net is. And just to kind of give you a little bit lowdown on his stats anyway, he scored 175 goals in his career over 354 games. So pretty much a goal every other game on average. And when you look at the amount of minutes that he's played, it's actually a goal every 140 minutes, which isn't that bad. And if we were to bring him in and he was scoring at that rate, I think a lot of us would be fairly happy with that, I would say. Goal every other game, would take it. Him and Benteke, it would be an interesting forward line, shall we say. But the one thing that would that raises a red flag is his ability to get sent off regularly. So that's something that we need to look at. Whether Wayne could rein that in, he has got pretty good man management skills, but it is quite a difficult one, difficult person to handle. And the other player that I kind of looked at and I thought, maybe he's one for immediate, but also a bit of a long-term signing, is a guy who I've picked up before on Football Manager, and he's a young player, in Hanoa Masengo, a midfielder, primarily defensive, but I think he's actually a really good player. I'm surprised he's without a club right now. So he was released by Bristol City. He actually signed for Bristol City from Monaco, and most recently he'd been on loan to Auxerre in France. And yeah, I like him. I think he's got a good engine on him. He's pretty decent. I think he could do it in MLS. I'm just majorly surprised he hasn't been picked up by another club yet. So that would be one for me if we were to go and pick up another DP. And would he be classed as a young DP? So he'd even count even less towards the salary cap? It's just one to throw out there. So yeah, that's who I've been looking at. I'd be interested to hear who you would pick up to replace Taxi. I know there's been a few names rattled around, especially on the DC United Discord channel. But do let me know who you think you would pick up as a replacement DP for Taxi Funtas. Also, other bits of news, especially that's come out today as of this recording, officially anyway. Marco Echeverri is now an academy coach for DC United in the under-15s. Great to see him back at the club and use it and having him around. He's a club legend. I don't think I need to explain who he is or what he's about. El Diablo back at the club in an official capacity. Very, very happy about that. And I'm sure a lot of fans are happy about that. If you're sort of a new fan, do go and check out a lot of the older games, especially from the 90s, to see what he's like. His hair was magnificent. His left boot was magnificent. And yeah, an incredible player, to say the least. So go and check him out. That's it for the news. Let me roll the VT and we'll move on to the return of MLS 101. So we're just going to roll into MLS 101. So I've been thinking about bringing this back. We had it last year, and there's a number of topics that we can cover, but we're coming up towards we're in the second half of the season. We're coming towards the tail end. Everyone's fighting for the playoff places, and as every single season, there's a new format for the playoffs. So what better way to start MLS 101 for 2023 with an explainer of the MLS 2023 playoffs. So I did a recording previously, earlier on this week, and I wanted to show you guys and let you listen in. This will also be available on YouTube afterwards, in its own separate playlist. So if you want to have a look through all the MLS 101, there's a nice playlist on there. So please remember to subscribe to the channel, so you'll always keep it up to date whenever a new MLS 101 episode is released. So here we go. Let's have MLS 101 for the first time in 2023. Welcome to MLS 101, where I will be teaching you all about MLS The topics will vary from subject to subject with the aim of bringing you some new knowledge of the league that you may not have known about before. And if you're brand new to the league, well, welcome. This is where you're going to learn everything about MLS and Major League Soccer. With that in mind, let's start with this topic, which is the 2023 MLS playoff format. Now, you're probably thinking why I'm talking about this. Probably thinking, isn't this the same as every other year? And haven't we always had the playoffs that decide which teams go through to the MLS Cup final? Well, in one regard, yes, we have MLS playoffs every single year, but it changes every single year because those folks at MLS HQ think it's a good idea to keep tweaking and trying out new stuff, which in one aspect, that's great that they want to try new things, but they don't allow it to embed and try it over a number of seasons. But there is some parts that do work. So for today, I will be going through what is different compared to previous years, what the actual format is, and when it will also happen. In years gone by, we've had much experimentation. We've gone from two-legged formats to single eliminations, and then something new for this year, in the three-legged, the round of three games. And now, more recently, over the last few years, we've had more teams that can qualify. So now we have a total of 18 teams that qualify for the postseason, nine from each conference. Teams that are placed in eighth and ninth will go through to what's called a wild card game. This is just a single elimination where after 90 minutes, if the game is still tied, it will go through to penalties. No extra time, just straight to penalties. And the winner of that game will go and play whoever was top of each conference. So if it was eighth or ninth in the wild card, whoever wins that, they will go and play the winners of the East or winners of the West. In round one, we have a format of round of three. So we need to have a team that wins two out of those three games. And because they need to win two out of three, that means we cannot have any draws. So the way that works is after 90 minutes, if there's still a tie, it will go through to penalties to decide the winner of that particular leg. And it is the first two wins. So you have the one team who wins the first two games. There is no need to have that deciding game. So it will become null and void that third match. However, if it is one apiece after the first two matches, it will go through to a third match. And the way it's formatted in terms of who plays where, the top seed from each of those round of one will play at home in the first match, away in the second, and then if they need the deciding match, they will play at home for the third. So the winners of each of this round of one will then go through to the semi-final. However, before we move on to that, the way the format works is top seed will play wildcard winner, number two will play number seven, number three will play number six, and number four will play number five. So a typical playoff format, which you probably agree you'll see in the likes of Europe and especially in the EFL, so the Championship, League One and League Two over here in England. For the semi-finals, these will be played over a single elimination format. So not quite the round of three like we had in round one, just a single elimination. With this, if it does finish in a tie at the end of 90 minutes, this will actually go through to extra time and then through to penalties if it's still required. And the way this one works is the winner of the number one versus wildcard will play number four versus number five. And the winner of number three will play number six. Sorry, the winner of number three versus number six will play the winner of number two versus number seven. Now you're probably thinking, well, who plays at home? And that is decided by whoever is the highest seed. So let's use an example. If it was number one versus wildcard winner. So say let's just say the wildcard win that win somehow. And it was the winner versus of number four versus number five. If the winner of that one was number five would be at home in the semi-final because they were the higher seed. And the winner of these semi-finals, as you could probably imagine, will go through to the conference final. The conference final itself is, again, a single elimination format. And again, if this ends in a tie at the end of 90 minutes, this will then go through to extra time and also penalties, just like the semi-final. And the winner of these finals will then go through and face each other in the MLS Cup match. There's one thing with MLS Cup, and it is done. Whoever plays at home, is the team that finishes higher in the supporters shield. So it's never played at a neutral venue, or it used to be played at a neutral venue back in the day, which I think is the best way forward. But the way it goes these days is whoever finishes higher in the supporters shield standings will have the home advantage. If the game for this one is a tie at the end of 90 minutes, just like the semi-finals, it will go to extra time and then to penalties if required. And that is MLS Cup 2023 format. I hope you understand everything that I've just gone through for you today. I know this is a very quick video, but let me know what subject you would like me to go through for MLS 101. That is all for this week, but remember to subscribe to this and make sure you ding that notification bell. So that was the first MLS 101. My first one doing it anyway as well. So I hope you enjoyed that. And yeah, as I said before, just let me know which subject you want covering. And I realized that I did miss something in that. So I will be adding that in later before we release that. So yeah, that was MLS 101, the 2023 playoff format. We hope that we are in that towards the end of the season. We actually get postseason because we've missed that far too much recently. So let's move on to this weekend's game against the New Jersey Red Bulls, New Jersey Pink Cows. So fly ourselves over from Audi Field all the way up over Philadelphia, and over to Red Bull Arena. So we've got some strange and useless facts about USA, as always, and this is the New Jersey edition. So what we got is New Jersey stroke New York Red Bulls edition. So contrary to popular belief, to those who are new to the league, the Red Bulls Stadium is actually in New Jersey rather than New York. If you don't know, New York Red Bulls used to be the New Jersey Metro Stars, and they've always been in New Jersey. I don't know why they have New York is just next door. It's more of a name rather than an actual where they're from. So it's like if Wimbledon kept the name Wimbledon, but played in Milton Keynes still. It would just be weird. So yeah, that's the first one. Other facts you may not know is New Jersey is the most densely populated states in America. There are approximately 1,196 people per square mile. There you go. There's some little knowledge for you. Then you have 21 counties and 565 municipalities in New Jersey. And at 819 square miles, Burlington County is the largest and one of the best places to live in New Jersey. And at just 50 square miles, Hudson County is not only the smallest, but also the most densely populated county too. Strange laws about New Jersey. It is legal to sell handcuffs to a minor. So for some reason, the criminal code in New Jersey explicitly bars the sale of handcuffs to individuals under the age of 18. Anyone caught violating this law can be charged with a disorderly person's offense. The penalty for illegally selling handcuffs to a minor is 6 months in the county jail. So don't go selling handcuffs to anyone who's under 18. I wonder where that comes. Plastic ones. Be interesting. If you're in New Jersey, let me know. I wouldn't mind knowing that one. New Jersey is also home to the tallest water tower in the world. Yep, there's that. In the state of New Jersey, it is illegal to frown at a cop. No frowns. Don't frown at a policeman or policewoman. Don't frown. And then it is also illegal to slurp your soup in a public place. Don't go slurping your soup, lad. Do not do it. And in Newark, which is where the Rebels actually play, well, near Newark anyway, it is illegal to purchase ice cream after 6 p.m. without a doctor's note. I love these little strange facts because you get to know the weird, wonderful things about another nation. So, yeah. I don't know what is happening there. My monitor just suddenly went off there for a brief second. That was not fun. So hopefully you could still hear me. But yeah, there you go. That is some weird and wonderful laws and facts about New Jersey. Cool. So let's move on to a preview for this weekend's game, which is against New York Rebels, which is at the Red Bull Arena and is being played on Sunday. So not Saturday. If you're thinking that was like a normal game, it is not. It is on Sunday rather than Saturday. Usual kickoff time, 7:39 p.m. Eastern time, which means it's 39 minutes past midnight over here in the UK. However, it is free on Apple TV, this one. So a rivalry game being free on Apple TV. Not your tradition. Well, no, don't mean not traditional. But not your local rivalry. This is more of a historic rivalry. It was a local one because back in MLS 1.0, our closest team was the Metro Stars. So that was the local rivalry, which when you look at it, well, where you're still over here in the UK, it's not very local, but, you know, it is in the States. So between the two sides, there's been 101 previous fixtures. DC United have won 44 of those. Red Bulls have won 38, and there's been 19 draws between the two sides. So this is the 102nd meeting overall. And like I said, this is a game with huge history. And for the fans, this is our biggest rivalry. We don't like the Red Bulls in any way, shape, or form. It has, and you might disagree with this, but it feels like it's sort of the rivalry has dissipated a little bit over the last few years, especially since New York City have come in into the league. And the league pushes down our throat, especially for rivalry week. Philadelphia Union as our big rivals, which we've also got coming up this month as well. But yeah, it's we still hate them. That will always be there. But yeah, this is one that is a big, big game for us. One that we all look at the calendar for. We always look forward to this game. Obviously, we've had a bit of a break. We've had obviously lots of things happening both on and off the pitch as well. We've had new players coming in. We've had people leave. Controversy, everything you could throw at us, we've had pretty much thrown it our way. But this is where we start to look at putting things right now. So fixture between the two sides, it's actually the only fixture in MLS that's actually reached 100 games. So this is the most historic game in MLS. Red Bulls have only lost once in their last 15 home matches against DC United. Now, hats off for you if you remember this. This is the last time we beat Red Bulls when we had the Estonian Messi playing for the club. In Eric Sauger, he scored a 98th minute winner to get us to win 1-0. That was the last time we won. To run that stretches back all the way to 2013. So it's not particularly great, but it's a run that needs to be changed. We need to start winning at their ground. Red Bull haven't lost three games in a row for almost 4 years. So they've lost their last two MLS games. They've not lost three since 2019, or back end of August 2019, actually. DC United have avoided defeat in half of the last 16, so eight in the last 16 matches. We've kept six clean sheets on the road too this season, which is great. That's awesome. We've only done that more once since 2006, and that was back in 2019 when we kept 7 clean sheets. So we've still got plenty of time to actually add more to that list. So I would love it if we can add another one in into that and break that record. If Red Bulls, they've not had anything more than 10. I should have thought about this before doing this live. But basically, they've had single-digit attempts against them in the last 10 matches, which is the longest run of single-digit attempts allowed at their goal since records began in 2010, which is incredible. That's defensively insane from the Red Bulls. So fair play to them on that. And then Benteke has won 170 aerial duels this season. When you compare that to the Red Bulls, Sean Nealis, who's their leading aerial duel player, he's had as many duels as Benteke has actually won this year. So he's had, I think it was 173 aerial duels competed in, never mind just won. So that just shows you how much we play towards Benteke's strengths in terms of his aerial prowess. So long that may continue. Normally I go through an availability report, but we've not had the press conference yet for this game. So that's happening tomorrow. If you're watching this on Thursday, or if you're watching this on the Friday or whatever, then it may have already happened. But as of recording, we've not got an availability report. In terms of Red Bulls, breakdown of their squad. So they've got two DPs, Luquinhas, who's a midfielder, and Dante Van Zier, who's a forward, who has also been accused of using a racial slur this season, and nothing really happened with him. There was a lot of controversy and things happened over there when that was the case. They've got one player in their under 22 initiative in Andre Reyes, who is also a defender. So when we look at the game itself, the big key to this one is taking the opportunities when they come our way, because as mentioned, they've not allowed many shots at their goal recently. So we need to be on it. Benteke needs to start firing very, very soon. But we can't just rely on Benteke. We need others to join in as well. So if we've got anyone on the wing who's can contribute, or if we've got midfield, or for me, what I think would be a good thing to use is set pieces for this game, because we've got good aerial players in this one. So like I said, Benteke, if somehow Birnbaum's back for this one, then we've got him, who's absolutely brilliant in the air. But the one thing that we need to also make sure is we defend incredibly well as well. I just hope Pines is back for this and he's playing. So keep my fingers crossed on that one. Prediction-wise, I'm going to go with my heart rather than my head on this one. I'm going to say a sneaky 1-0 win. That's what I'm going to go with this week. 1-0. Take it in the 90th minute again. I will happily have that if it comes down to it. I mean, I would love it if we were comfortable in this one, but the way Red Bulls have not allowed many shots at their goal, but their current form where they've lost their last two games, I think we might be in with a chance on this one. So, yeah, we shall see how we get on with this one. But that's pretty much it. We've just got one last thing to wrap the show up with, and that is the guest DC Who. So if you missed the start of the show, just to kind of give you the breakdown, this person is 43 years old, as he is now. He's from Netherlands, Texas, currently an assistant coach within MLS, started his career in 2002 for Sporting Kansas, gone on to make 7 appearances for the US men's national team and scoring once, and then retired with DC United in 2015. And for this week, the player in question is Have we got drums? Oh, I haven't got a drum roll, but I will use this. Devi Arnaud. Arnaud. As you can see there, taking the ball in his stride, just down there. Good on you. Good on you. So that is it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Let me know what you think of MLS 101 returning and all the subjects that you want covering. Guest DC Who obviously returned this week. We'll keep that going as well. It's nice to get back behind the microphone. Great to be able to speak to you guys wherever you are in the world. Please let me know if you're wherever you are. And hopefully we'll get to speak to you soon. But that's it. Remember to subscribe to the show, like the video as well. And if you've got a chance to rate the podcast as well, please do. You can rate on both Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, I noticed recently as well. So please go ahead and do that. Feel free to leave a comment as well. I love seeing the comments coming through, so please do. I will massively appreciate it. But that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. And until next time, Vamos United. Tell them tuck the collar for the quote. On record, off record, I still want the act, not the ghost.